You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. Standing by on the second half of the show, Jason Fetty and Michael Waldman are here to talk about their book, The Glory of Groveling, Apology, A Simple Path to More Freedom and Happiness, and they're joining us now.
Testing.
Good morning, Jason, Michael.
Good morning. Hi.
I hear testing. Testing, is this on? How are you?
I'm great. Michael, are you there?
Uh-oh. We don't have Michael?
Uh-oh.
Hi, well, I'm here.
Michael.
Sorry.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Michael? No, Michael?
Yep, I'm here now.
Oh, you are. Okay, great. Well, have you both. Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in, both of you.
My pleasure.
You're welcome.
Yes.
We're in different, we're all over the country, so that's why it's a little weird. We'll settle down in a minute. Michael's near you, and I am in somewhere, driving to somewhere else on a tour with the rock and roll band. So
very
I don't know
cool.
where I am.
Okay, yes, you're in that Joe Cocker band, correct?
Yeah, but this is not that. This is the Happy Together tour. It's been going for 17 years,
oh.
and it's a bunch of old guys from the 60s.
Love it.
And we've 60 dates, and we're coming to Costa Mesa to the amphitheater there sometime in August.
Nice. We're right near Costa Mesa, so I'd love to come check it out. When you have a date, you'll let us know.
Yeah.
Cool.
I will.
So where are you both? So you're calling from your car. And Michael, where are you calling in from?
I'm home in Laguna Beach.
Oh, okay. But that's not too far away either. All right. So you both have a book talk coming up, correct? This summer?
We do. We're launching our book in Laguna Beach at Laguna Beach Books.
Okay.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but I think it's July 9th at 6 o'clock.
July 9th, 6 o'clock. Okay. I think I remember putting that in my calendar. So can you tell listeners, and I'll direct the questions, okay? Maybe we'll start with you, Jason. What inspired the two of you to write The Glory of Groveling?
And by the way, congratulations on Get the Funk Out.
Thank you.
Which is on a par with The Glory of Groveling as an eye-catching title.
Thank you.
For what is really quite a serious topic, you know.
Yes.
I'd had this idea. I've been in recovery for a long time, so I'm a sober guy, and, you know, your listeners will be familiar with the 12 steps, or at least to some degree. So step 9 is making amends to people, apologizing, making things right with other human beings. And I'm a little obsessed with that step. I mean, other people that are in recovery often obsessed with one step or another.
Okay.
But that was the one that really resonated with me, and it really transformed my relationships. So I'd had this idea, and I knew The Glory of Groveling, great, funny title. I'm going to write this book, and I talked about it to anybody that would listen for a number of years until people started to get irritated with me. And Michael... And during COVID, Michael and I would walk in the wilderness of Orange County, and I was talking about the book, you know, whatever, and Mike goes, when are you going to write this book? You know, his language was a little more choice than that.
Yes,
but,
thank you.
Seeing as this is live radio,
I'm
modifying.
Yes.
Yes. And he goes, when are you going to write the book? And I was honest with him, I was like, no, but, you know, to write a book, it seems like such a huge undertaking, and it kind of is.
It is,
you know. And I'm a huge fan of literature, and I'm a big reader, and it just seemed out of my wheelhouse. So Mike goes, "I'll help you write the book," because Mike, as you will hear in a minute, has a background in helping people to transform their lives. His entire life has been dedicated to it, in one way or another. And I just sort of went, "But you've never written a book either." And he went, no, but I know I could.
I love that.
And that's who you want on your side, is somebody who knows they could.
You bet. Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Why.
All right.
I was going to say that. So we started writing it, and we committed to certain times of the week and blah, blah, blah. And it took a few years, but it really is a collaboration. It's been a fantastic journey.
I love that. Okay, Michael, what's your take?
Well, first of all, I'm laughing because when I look back, if I realized what it was really going to take, I probably would have said no. but it was a great journey. And, you know, I got into it because, you know, I was a corporate consultant for 35 years. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is that people in organizations hide their mistakes. Yeah. And that causes enormous problems, not only for the companies that people are working in, but for their consumers.
Sure.
And so I thought if we could somehow write something that would give people more freedom around the idea of it's okay to make mistakes, and here's a great way to clean it up, it would make a real contribution. So that's what I was interested in.
Okay. And so tell me about the process. How long did it take you to write this book? We'll start with...
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
Well, it took, honestly, I have no idea. It took about five... Did it take 6 years, Mike?
Whoa.
I'm terrible at chronology. My wife always says... She always says, you know, you've no idea where you lived, when you lived there, what you did, what happened yesterday. I'm just not that way out. Mike, can you remember the chronology of it?
Yeah, well, we started thinking about it during COVID, and we started mm-hmm. doing Zoom calls. But we didn't get really, really serious. We had written about 25% of the book,
okay.
And it took about 2 years to do that, you know, because we were just goofing around and taking our time. But then we submitted it to a publisher, and it was immediately accepted, and we realized we needed to get serious. So 75% of the book got written in 2025.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was all done via Zoom for the most part. Every once in a while, we'd be in the same room. We found it worked really well, you know, with seeing each other and talking via that way. It was, here's what was really great. Jason and I have been friends for 15 years, and, you know, you get to a point in a friendship where what are you talking about? Most of the time you're talking about what you did yesterday and what you're going to do this weekend and have you read the news. And this gave us something really useful and important and meaty to talk about. And it, you know, created a whole new level in our friendship. So that for
me
was the most exciting part about it.
I love that. So here's a question. We'll direct this to Jason first. Many of my listeners... You know, the show Get the Funk Out, they might have regret, guilt. You're human, right? Unresolved conflict. How can an apology actually help us get out of a funk?
That's a really great question.
Thank you.
Fantastic question. Now, I'm not a psychologist, and neither is Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you the neurological pathways or the hows and whys. We're not particularly spiritual. But I will tell you that it does work. I can reel off stuff I did yesterday that needed an apology. You know, I make a lot of mistakes, and that's why I'm an expert at apologizing. and so it's like punctuation. It puts a period mark after something. It cleans something up. Actually, that you perhaps you didn't even know. Was wrong. People walk around with, we like to say, you know, psychic baggage,
mm-hmm.
For want of a better term, and oftentimes we don't even know what it is that's bugging us. We just know that we don't feel great. We're not operating at 100%.
Yes.
Now, if you can pinpoint the thing, you know, and you can follow our 6.5 steps in our book, it just works, and it's really... as close to magic as I've ever experienced. This is not a cure for clinical depression,
mm-hmm.
but if things are not great and relationships are broken and people are not talking or people are, you know, litigating, God forbid, or heading toward divorce because of a specific thing or mode of behavior, it just seems to work. It's a great question, and I wish I had a clearer answer, but I don't think an answer would... satisfy everybody's question. I think everybody's got their own take on this.
No, that's a great response. And before we jump to Michael, I will say I put this quote up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. I feel like that an apology is freeing. So here's the quote. I don't know which one of you said this. Apology gives us the authority to determine our own future, free of the fear, resentment, and guilt we feel from broken relationships. It makes us people of our word, people who can be trusted, people who are ready for real love.
Oh my God, the book's so much cleverer than me.
What? What did you say?
I said the book is so much cleverer than me.
Oh, is it?
It's great. Good quote.
That's amazing. Well, you know, Who said that?
I'll say a couple things about
Please,
it.
Michael.
You know, when I'm in a funk, I often feel like there's circumstances that are out of my control.
Sure.
You know, I feel like life is doing it to me. And I often don't see a way of making a difference in that area. You know, if I've made a mistake and I've hurt somebody, I feel guilty about it, or I feel justified in it, and I feel resentful about the other person.
Right.
You know, there are all these kind of emotional, psychological reactions that we have around making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that our 6.5 steps, which, you know, 6.5, we made it kind of a joke, you know.
That was funny. I was wondering, like, 6.5? Like, where did they come with that? Scientific. It doesn't sound very scientific, guys.
No, it didn't. And we made it as, you know, the joke is fun. I'm sorry. The book is fun. I have to tell you, it's got a real great sense of humor to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people who are reading it are telling us now. That was our intent. But at the heart of our steps is the idea of where can you regain authority in your life in those areas? Where can you regain responsibility? And by that, I don't mean guilt. I mean like the ability to respond in areas where you felt that you couldn't respond.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when you go through those steps and you regain your own strength and you regain your own power and you regain your own authority, that brings you out of your funk, because you can start to see ways, and you can see ways of making a difference in that area.
Yes.
You can see a pathway to cleaning things up. You can see a pathway beyond your emotional reaction to it. And that's what gets you out of your funk, from my experience.
Definitely. Yes. Jason, did you want to add to that?
Well, I would say that, you know, if you take 2.5 sugars in your tea, that half sugar, that's important. You know, you don't take 2 sugars and you don't take 3 sugars, you take 2.5. And of course, it's kind of, again, it's supposed to be eye-catching, the half step. And without giving away too much, you know, because we'd like people to buy the book, frankly, that half step is don't push it.
Yeah.
So you've taken responsibility for your life. You've taken responsibility for your words and actions. You now own your life. You now have authority over your life. And don't push it.
Yeah.
You know, and save your victory lap for when you get home. You know, that's the point of that.
Yes.
Of that step, you know. But it really is, as Michael says, about reclaiming ownership of your life. And it's incredibly empowering. And it makes you useful, and it makes you trustworthy.
Yes.
And goodness knows, you know, when you've got in any relationship with anybody, from the pizza delivery guy to your nearest and dearest, you need to be trustworthy. You need to be able to be trusted to pay for the pizza.
Sure. I want to share something with you. I remember having a conflict years ago with my dad, and he misunderstood something I said over the phone about his health, and it created this big argument. We didn't talk for a long time. It was awful. And I thought, I'm going to make the first move. And I just called up and I said, you know, Dad, whatever I did to upset you, I'm so sorry. And he didn't know where to start, so he couldn't pick up the phone. And just by me making that first move, it changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it brought us closer. So sometimes you just have to make that first move, because you don't know what someone else is thinking. And And as time goes by, people have so many different thoughts. So people can be so quick to judge and slow to listen. Do you think apologizing has become harder in some way? We'll throw it to Michael.
Jason. First of all, I just want to say I love the fact that you made the first move.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the impact that it made on your father.
Oh, yes.
And I love the... And I would bet that you yourself had a sense of freedom and happiness.
I did.
As a result.
I did.
Yeah. And oftentimes we don't know what we did. We just know that we feel bad in a relationship. And just to be able to say, listen, I want to clean this up. And mm-hmm. I'm willing to take responsibility for anything I did. And right now, I'm not even sure what I did. So
yes.
I'd be glad to hear what you have to say about it.
Yes.
Would make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be open. You know, I've been looking at your websites for the past couple days, and I love this idea that you have of being a better human.
Thank you.
And about being opening ourselves up and the compassion that it takes to really live your life well. And that's exactly what I hear in what you're saying, is a willingness to open yourself up and be vulnerable that makes a huge difference.
Yes.
Now, I wasn't sure what you asked at the very end of what you said, so could you ask it again?
Do you think it's become harder for people to apologize? Because a lot of times maybe we're not listening, we're not fully present. I know a lot of people, you know, you can be on your phone... Or someone could be on your phone and you're trying to say something and they're hearing half of what you're saying or not all any of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing to the extent to which people talk to each other and don't hear and don't say, I didn't hear what you said.
Right.
And take it.
We're all actors. That was fascinating. Yes. Thank you for that.
But I want to just say something about what you just said. I think we're in an age where it seems wrong to apologize.
Why?
And that's one of the reasons that we wrote the book, is that it seems like we're in an age where it's weak to apologize. You know, I love, there's a great quote from President Trump. He said, apology is a wonderful thing. If I'm ever wrong, I'll do it. And,
oh, God.
And I've yet to meet anybody who has not made a mistake.
Yes.
So, you know, if we could show people that there is an access to having a happier life by being willing to apologize, I think we've made a contribution.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Well, there's also, you know, whether there's mental health stigma and people don't feel comfortable talking about whatever they're struggling with, people don't want to feel vulnerable and weak. However, it can bring you so much closer because you can feel a sense of relief. And feel a greater mm-hmm. connection with that person. And then you can see that person, if you're the recipient, in a different light.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like we've been sold a false bill of goods, in my opinion. I just think that, you know, you say, is it harder for us to apologize?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier for us to not apologize. I think that that we can move town, we can put not answer phone calls. We, you know, back in the day when you lived in a village, you
yes.
know, you have to make things right or you'd be chucked out. And then you're at the behest of wild animals, you know. I think it's much easier for us now to just do what we want. And that doesn't help us to be free and happy. This is the thing. We're offering freedom and happiness in this book. And I think it's like many things. It's like having, you know, like, for example, if you've never used a calendar.
Yes.
And somebody shows you how to use a calendar. And it just looks like prison. It looks like I'm going to be imprisoned by this thing,
mm-hmm.
when in fact it's entirely emancipating. You know,
yes.
apologies may look weak to someone who's never practiced it. And I get that. But in fact,
mm-hmm.
the more one does it, the stronger your relationships are, the more confident you are, the apologizer is, the more confident the apologizee is, that things are going to be okay and that this person may make a mess, but he or she'll clear it up, and
yes,
and you know, life can progress in a free and happy way.
Yes, I just want to interject for listeners, if you're just tuning in, I've been speaking with Jason Fetty and Michael Waldman about their new book, The Glory of Groveling, Apology, A Simple Path to More Freedom and Happiness. I will say this to both of you. What I'm finding is, because you said it's so much easier for people to do nothing, I don't think people should be apologizing necessarily through text. I think people have used that as a way not to pick up the phone. There's a lot of people that don't feel comfortable picking up a phone, but hearing the sound of someone's voice versus a text, which could be misconstrued or very just flat, right? It, like, you feel like, oh, I did it. I said thank you, or I said I'm sorry, versus someone hearing the sound of your voice and the emotion is so different.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the first parts of our book is kind of an essay on terrible apologies. We call them crapologies. We're very smart that way.
Love that.
And we need to trademark that, Michael.
Yes, you should.
You know, it should be patent pending.
We need a workbook. We have to come out with a workbook now. The crapology workbook. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that
there is work pages at the back of the book. So.
Yeah. Darn it! I was going to say you're welcome. Okay, go ahead.
You know, I'm sorry, Jason. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that thing, we suggest very clearly, very strongly, that in fact one of our steps is to contact the person in person, or at least on the phone. And so, in fact, I think the phone is the safest way, because the person gets a chance. You just show up at the door. That's not offering any freedom and happiness for the person you're apologizing to.
Yes.
Probably want to call and make an appointment. You know, that's the way we do it. In fact, Michael taught me that very early on, and I have a brother who loves to call me on my BS, you know. Yeah. And it's his favorite thing to do. Part of it is that thing. In fact, we say, before you've made any decisions about what you're going to say and what you're not going to say, and mm-hmm. before you've talked to someone, we always say never operate alone. You need somebody to talk to about this. We make the appointment first, and then there you go. Now you're doing it.
That's great. You know? So we do have to wrap up in just a minute. So I'm going to hand it over to Michael, and then you can both tell me where people can find out more about you in the book.
Well, I just wanted to go back to your question about, you know, why is it so hard to apologize? And I think one of the things is that we really want to consider ourselves to be good people. We hate being wrong. You're interested in this idea of better humans. And mm-hmm. my perspective is, to be a better human, you have to really understand the kind of the negative side of being human that we all inherit. And one of the things is we hate being wrong, and we think of ourselves as good people, and we want to be perfect. And so, what we're out to accomplish in our book is give people a sense of it's really human to be imperfect.
Yes.
It's really human to make mistakes. And what is really a better human is to be able to clean up those mistakes and own those mistakes. And that's what our book's about.
I love it. Okay, so July 9th will be your book talk, and I'll put it up on the show blog. Is that correct, July 9th?
Yeah, July 9th.
That's right, at Laguna Beach Books.
Okay, Laguna Beach Books. I'll put that up on the show blog. I want to thank you both so much for calling in. I know your book is on Amazon and probably everywhere books are sold. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's right.
Excellent.
And by the way, Janine, before we go, I do want to acknowledge, by the way,
yes,
that apologizing, the idea of it is thoroughly irritating. And I get that. It is. Nobody wants to apologize. Even people like us who are experts at this, that, you know, before I pick up the phone, I'm already irritated. So,
oh, no.
You know, it's human. It's entirely human.
It is.
We don't turn into Buddhas by doing this. We get freedom and happiness. That's a different
definitely.
Offer, you know.
You know, I'm going to have you both back on again. This has been great. I don't mean to cut you off. I have to
apologize.
I'm going to apologize for cutting you off. But we do have to wrap up. We have another show at the top of the hour, SoCal New Waiver with Pass Forward. I look forward to meeting both of you, and we'll talk about having you back on and continuing our conversation.
Right on, and go
on. Thanks so much, by the way.
Fantastic. Thank you both so much, Jason, Michael. It's been a pleasure. All right, that's a wrap for me. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. Up next, SoCal New Waiver with Pass Forward. Stick around for that. That's a fantastic show. You've been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.